I love meeting people. I love talking about money. You and I share that in common. It's an important part of people's lives. And I don't think that enough people talk about it, especially not enough women talk about it. It's kind of faux pas, you know, for the female to talk about money, know about money, especially kind of in the South. I don't know. I think all that's crap. I don't believe in any of that. I think you need to talk about it. You need to understand it. You need to get with the mentality behind it, right? Because whether you like it or not, our society runs on it. So you don't have to agree with the process of it or like how everything works. But if you don't understand the game, like, you'll get played by it. So
Yeah, it's like Monopoly, right? You know, there's rules to the game. You got to know what the rules are. I'm curious as to your thought. Why do you feel like it's so taboo of a subject? Why do you feel like people shy away? I'm curious to hear your answer on that.
So for me, I think that people shy away because, number one, it's complicated. Number two, people can get really emotional surrounding it. People feel very uncomfortable because there's a lot of data surrounding it. And the more data you have in any sort of field, the less sure people feel. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline or Jax Kreider, and we have our very first guest on, Trevor Houston. So he is a repeat, and he is in the financial services space. He also helps people do a lot of job transitioning. This is sort of what he's an expert in. If you're not aware, he has his own podcast called The Who Ya Know Show, and that's Ya as in Y-A, Who Ya Know. And so I am really honored to have him back on the show. And welcome, Trevor. I guess give us a little brief bit about who you are, you know, what you do, and why you're excited to be on the show today.
Well, I'm excited to be back because look at you. Jacqueline, this is amazing. How many episodes are you at now?
Oh, gosh. I was trying to look at that this morning. We have one that should be dropping here very shortly. And I think, if memory serves me right, it's well over 50.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, we've got 70 some odd episodes. Is that right? Something like that. Yeah, 78.
You're already in the top. You're already in the top percentile because most people give up on their podcast after like 10 episodes. Okay.
That's crazy.
You know, just for the audience, a little background, me and Jacqueline met a few years ago it was Video Marketing World back then.
It was.
And I was doing podcast interviews there at the conference. And I went on stage and told the audience, I said, hey, if you've ever wanted to be on a podcast, come on. And Jacqueline stepped up to the plate. She came over and we did an interview. And I told her during that interview, I said, hey, you need to start your own podcast, right?
You did. Because I was like, I don't know if I can be on video. And you're like, yeah, you should start a podcast.
Yep. And then it took probably a year or so after that seed kind of grew over time. And then you reached out to me after that and said, hey, I want to start a podcast. Can we chat? You know? And I told you, I said, yes, but I have my only ask is that we do it now and I'm your first guest and I'll help you. And so that's how we got to be the first episode. And now look at you, you're like 70 episodes in, you're in the top percentile of podcasters out there because most people give up after 10 episodes.
I was going to say, if I'm going to go ahead and do something, I don't know. It's like anything else, right? Like a lot of people haven't written a book. I have written one solo book that's published, a second one that will be published next year, and quite a few anthologies. I mean, if I'm going to do something, we're just going to go ahead and go all in. Might as well. But actually really enjoy the podcasting. I love meeting people. I love talking about money. You and I share that in common that, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's an important part of people's lives. And I don't think that enough people talk about it, especially not enough women talk about it. It's kind of faux pas, you know, for the female to talk about money, know about money, especially kind of in the South, which is where I was raised. And I don't know, I think all that's crap. I don't believe in any of that. I think you need to talk about it. You need to understand it. You need to get with the mentality behind it, right? Because whether you like it or not, our society runs on it. So you don't have to agree with the process of it or like how everything works. But if you don't understand the game, like, you'll get played by it. So
Yeah, it's like Monopoly, right? You know, there's rules to the game. You got to know what the rules are. I'm curious as to your thought. Why do you feel like it's so taboo of a subject? Now, look, I'm asking you a question. See?
Yeah.
I'm curious as to why you feel it is so taboo. Like, people just don't like talking about it. You know, you got money, religion, politics, you know, those are the sensitive subjects. Why do you feel like people shy away? I'm curious to hear your answer on that.
So for me, I think that people shy away because, number one, it's complicated. Number two, people can get really emotional surrounding it. Mm. People feel very uncomfortable because there's a lot of data surrounding it. And the more data you have in any sort of field, the less sure people feel. And the more unsure you feel, the less you want to talk about it, because nobody likes the uncomfortable feeling of uncertainty, right? Like, that's it's not a fun feeling. It's why I think a lot of parents don't talk to their kids about money, is because they feel like they don't have a clue. So like, how are they going to give their kids information that they feel like they don't understand? I personally don't think there's any shame in not knowing, because first of all, I mean, in my space, so in mortgage, and then also remind yourself that I have a law degree. So in law, these two major things have so many pieces of data. There's no possible way, even if I was the smartest person on the planet, that I could understand and calibrate and understand the changes of these two things ever. Like, that's not a possibility, right? So like, you have to sort of live in uncertainty, and a lot of people are just not comfortable living there. They don't like that, and so they don't want to talk about it. It's easier to talk about, you know, what the weather is, or, you know, what new TV show is really great, or whatever, right? Like, there's certainty in those spaces. So that's my take. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think shame around not knowing, right? They weren't taught this stuff in school. And once you really do start digging into it, you start realizing how much you don't know, right?
Correct.
Like you said, how complicated it really is, you know? And so, like, the shame around not knowing, and then also not being where you think you should be financially, right? Like, being behind the eight ball, and like, you know, so there's shame around that. And then also trust, I think, is also a high one, because to discuss those things, you got to be talking to somebody that you trust. And so who do you trust? Like, who do you go to? And a lot of people go to their friends and family, and those people have no idea what they're doing either. And so now you're like the blind leading the blind, or they watch a TikTok video and think they got all the answers. But anyway, so yeah, I think it's just, again, shame around not knowing, maybe being behind the eight ball. And then who do you trust? Who do you go to if you need information, you know?
Well, and we're sort of living in an era where, I don't know, I'm sure you see this in your space, but people are not trying to be experts anymore. It's like, you know, they're so interested in like keeping up appearances and whatever, that some of the education and the true being a professional has like sort of fallen by the wayside. It's actually probably the number one thing that drives me absolutely batty in my space, is that people are like, oh yeah, well, I just want to go with whoever has the lowest interest rate in your space. You know, and I'm like, well, there's so many other factors. I mean, if I could explain to you how many things happen on the back end of mortgage, I mean, it is like a whole entire circus of people and information and so many different data points and all these other things that I'm like, and it's the largest financial debt you're probably ever going to hold in your entire life. Like, that sounds smart. Let's just outsource that to somebody who doesn't have a clue. I actually had a whole conversation, you'll find this fascinating, with a guest I had on last week. She's an attorney, and she said that her clients are costing themselves thousands and thousands of dollars in attorney billable hours because they're going to ChatGPT and asking ChatGPT for all these questions. And then they're asking her all this information that's completely irrelevant. And she's like, look, I can answer these questions, but you're going to be being charged by the hour, right? And it's going to be, you know, thousands of dollars that you're going to end up spending for me to answer these questions, or you can trust that I'm the professional and that I know what the heck I'm doing. And then I can just give you the right answers.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people using, you know, they're using AI to help them with that too, which I don't think is necessarily wrong, but you know, yeah, no, I think it's, you know, seek your own counsel, seek your own guidance, and find somebody you can trust. You know, I think trust is the most important part of all of it, because if you don't trust them, you know, and I think people are trust technology more than people now.
Well, and unfortunately, a lot of people let people down.
Huh?
I said, unfortunately, a lot of people have let people down, right? Mm-hmm. In big spaces like ours.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. Yeah, I think absolutely. the best rule of thumb the way that I use AI is to get context and to try to understand, and then use that information along with, you know, real reliable sources as well as experts, and you kind of marry them across, right? Like, it's a good way for you not to be wasting your time or the expert's time to kind of get some context of like, how should this look? Like, what frame of mind should my head be in when I'm having these conversations with these people? That for me is what AI does, but not for everybody, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a tool and everybody uses it in a different way, right?
Correct. All right. So anyways, back to the conversation at hand, which was whether, like, you know, when you're in some of these transitions, and I guess we sort of have talked a little bit about transitions here. And in your particular case, you specialize a lot in helping people transition in jobs. And I would say that right now we're experiencing a lot of that in our economy. You know, things, a lot of jobs are getting changed because of AI, right? And so there are some moving of people around and things of this sort, et cetera, outsourcing people to other countries. I mean, how do you maneuver some of these challenges that people are encountering, giving them advice either through your podcast and through some of the other aspects that you help with, I suppose?
Yeah, you cut out, so I didn't hear the actual question. I'm sorry, you cut out there for a minute.
Apologies.
I heard the lead up, but I didn't hear the actual question. It cut out a little bit, sorry.
How are you helping people kind of maneuver some of these transitions, right? Like, what do you recommend as we're going through them, the things that they should be thinking? Turmoil, yeah. Is that same thing we were talking about earlier, uncertainty, right? Like, that's a scary point. And a lot of people are experiencing it right now. So how should they be framing up their head? What should they be thinking about,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah, no, that's a great question. Well, you kind of, again, hit the nail on the head with how should they be framing up their head. Their headspace is number one. Okay.
For
before
sure.
Before we get into strategies and tactics and different ways to recover your income, and there's, because there's a lot of strategy I teach people, but before we get to all of that, you got to get your mindset right.
Agreed.
Because a lot of times what will happen is, especially if you got let go from corporate America, you'll go into victim mindset, right? It was everyone else's fault but mine, pointing the finger, blame game. A lot of that happens. They actually say that people go through the stages of grief when you lose your job. There's a piece of your identity that is like attached with your employer. Like, I remember for myself, I got let go in 2009 during the Great Recession, and I was working for Harley Davidson. And I was in my early 20s, and I remember that was a freaking cool job, like, you know, working for Harley Davidson, you know, and like my identity was wrapped up in that bar and shield, you know, that logo. And it was just so cool. And like, people knew me as that, you know, like I was selling Harleys, and just the environment and the culture, right? And I remember when I got let go, it was like, my identity is gone, you know, I don't know, it was weird. And so I know a lot of people feel that way. There's a lot of people that, you know, are in the NFL and they're, you know, or sports or whatever. And then they wrap their identity in someone else's logo. And so when you lose your job, all of a sudden it's like, who am I? And I want you to know, like, you're so much more valuable than the words on your resume.
Absolutely.
And you're so much more valuable than the logo of someone else's company. It's not even your company, right? Like, you're more valuable than that. And getting your mindset in the right place to be able to receive, you know, the opportunities that are opening up, you have to reframe this, okay? Chances are you probably didn't like your last job. You know, they do those Gallup polls and ask people, like, how satisfied are you with your company? And, like, there's a high percentage of people that hate what they do.
Yes.
People hate it. It's like, okay, cool, you just got let go. What a gift.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways,
for real.
You know, let's recreate your life. Right now is an opportunity for you to, like, recreate your life. And so anyways, cool. Getting people's mindset in the right place is the first step. But go ahead. You were going to say something.
No, I was just going to say that I agree. I think that it can be a gift, but you have to look at it as such, right?
Yeah.
One of the things I talk about all the time on the podcast is alignment and intention. And a lot of times people are misaligned, right? And they have just been continuing to do the same job because of the money, right? Because on its face, in their mind, they're like, well, I have to make money. I have all these bills. I have all these things, these financial responsibilities that I have to meet up to. And so they stay in these horrible jobs that are misaligned that are not. And so I think you can absolutely look at a layoff as a positive. right? But you have to take a step back, and you're right, you do have to reshape your mind. You have to think through and say, okay, this sucks. And like, you're allowed to have that moment, right? Like,
yeah.
Another woman and I called them bathroom floor moments. That's what she described them as, right? Like, where you're kind of sitting on the floor in the bathroom, just sobbing your eyes out about this horrible situation. Maybe you did it in a different way, more internally or whatnot. But, you know, it's a horrible moment.
I give people full permission, right, to scream, cry, cuss, you know, punch the ground, whatever you got to do.
Because exactly.
Your emotions are real, feel them, but get it out of your system as quickly as possible. Like literally, I mean, if you need to scream and yell, like just get it out, but get all that negativity out and then draw a line that you're not going to let it back in. It's not
correct.
Coming back in. No more stinking thinking. And it's time to get back up and recreate. You know, you got a guy like Austin Armstrong, you know, we just saw him at AI Marketing World, right?
Yeah, so
well, I remember when I interviewed him, his story was of a career transition. Now, I don't remember what industry he was in, all of that, but he had gotten let go.
He was in marketing, I think.
Yeah, he got let go and decided to, you know what, bet on himself, went all in on video and started going viral. And, you know, you look at the guy now, he bet on himself, and instead of working for someone else, he could have went back to work for someone else. He bet on himself. And now he's, you know, got multiple companies, you know, just absolutely crushing the game, you know, multiple seven figures. I mean, just doing big things. Okay.
Yeah, and making absolutely. Impact
and really helping people. He's really, really helping people.
He has been a guest on the show, and literally he is the most down to earth, just salt, like just so kind individual, right? Like you just can't imagine. And I think people are so afraid to embrace this part of themselves. And I'm like, why are you selling your soul for what, a dollar? Because even though you and I work in the financial space, and I get it, money is important. It's an important factor, but it's not the only thing, right? Like it's not the only factor here.
We live in a day and age where literally you can create a company, your dream, whatever it is, and you have the best tools ever in history, AI, to help you do it.
Correct.
So like maybe before you go back to work for corporate America, just think about this for just a moment. Take a moment, okay? I'm not saying don't go back to work for corporate America, because you may not be an entrepreneur, okay? Not everybody's cut out for this. But take a moment and think about your dreams, because I know you got one. I know you've had an idea. You've had a thought. There was something that, you know, you wanted to create. And the reason why I know this to be true, and this is true for everyone, is because we are built in our Father's image. And our Father is a creator, okay? So if our Father's a creator, that means we are creators. And anything that we can think, we've done it time and time again. We think about it, we create it, all right? As mankind, that's what we do. We think it. We create it, okay? So you, the audience, are also a creator. Now, some people are way more creative than other people.
For sure.
Right? The difference is the really creative people are actually working out that muscle. It's a muscle. They're working it out. They've been, you know, me and you, you know, Jacqueline, we've been working this thing out, okay? We're creative type people, okay? But what I'm noticing now is with AI, you've got the people that are less creative starting to like work that thing out again. All of a sudden they're getting in there and they're like, oh wow. And they get in there and they have this helper. They have this thing that can help them be creative all over again. And so now these people are becoming authors, and these people are starting businesses, and these people are starting to live out their dreams and actually create their dreams because they have this tool, this technology that's helping them. So before you go just immediately jump back into corporate America and work for someone else's dream, take a time out, take 24 hours, play around with AI for a minute and see if you can like get a spark going and maybe create your own dream. You know,
well, I've said for a while that AI, you know, so many people are afraid that it's going to replace everything and, you know, whatever. And what I've said is that no, AI, what it's going to do is it's going to level the playing field, and it's going to take these people who like the mundane kind of tasks, the tasks that we all kind of hate doing. And it's going to basically make those obsolete. AI will be able to be intelligent enough and intuitive enough, connected correctly to do that. AI is then going to take your original thought and it's going to just blow it up. Right? It's going to take all of those things that you've been thinking about, dreaming about, all the stuff inside your head, right? So like I'm ADHD. So my brain is bouncing all over the place all the time with all this information or whatever. And now I can literally type it in, talk it in, whatever needs to happen. And AI is taking it and it's organizing it. I can say, hey, I need you to go do this deep research, something that I could have done myself, but it may have taken days or weeks or months, right? Or even years, depending on what kind of project I was working on. And I can literally condense that to minutes, hours, maybe if it's something really long and really in depth. I mean, what a crazy, amazing opportunity you hold. Yeah. Even if you want to work for corporate America, you still could be doing side things or passion projects, hobbies that really
created on the side, created on the side. And here's the deal. Right now is the time. The window of opportunity I feel is very, very small. Okay. Because this is still brand new. And it's going so exponentially fast.
It is.
That you got to get in now and make your money now. Strike while the iron's hot. This is a gold rush. Okay. And what'll end up happening is there's going to be a, this is my assumption, my projection.
There you go.
Again, let me throw out my disclaimers out there. You know, past performance is no indicator of future performance. No, I'm just saying, like, let me throw out a disclaimer, but let me say this. I think that there's going to be a divide in wealth.
Oh, for sure. Okay?
That we've never seen before. Because again, people are going to ride this wave and they're going to, you know, make their money. You see people like Austin, he's crushing it. Okay. Great.
And remind people that Austin had a marketing agency that once he started an AI software platform, he legitimately got it to a point and shut the AI agent, the regular marketing agency down. So like, just to give you some perspective. So he's killing it with an AI based complete business.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So my point is there's going to be people out there, and there already are, it's already happening. And it's been happening where people are going to make lots of money. And everyday normal people, everyday average folks are doing it. Okay. And they're making lots of money. And there's going to be the other people where AI is going to take their jobs. So you got to decide which side are you on.
For sure.
Are you going to be on the creative side where you're going to ride that wave right now? This is your opportunity. You got to jump on while, you know, get it, strike the iron while the iron's hot, right? You got to get in there and get it. Or are you going to be the one that AI comes and takes your job? And you're on the other side of this thing, because it will. It's going, like, to your point, which you said earlier, it's going to take jobs. So, and it already is. It has been taking jobs, right?
For sure.
First it was like copywriter, content creators. Like, the content is becoming so much easier to create now. It's taking a lot of jobs. And it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. It's going to take mine and your job is on the line. Declan, it's on the line.
I personally think that there always will be a need for a human element. I just think that, like I said, it's going to condense things. It's going to make things cheaper, right? It's going to have the availability. I think that there always going to be need to be some level of human, you know, kind of connection and involvement.
Yeah.
The challenge is that it's just going to take the weak links out. The people who don't really know what they're doing, who don't really care, who won't tap into any of their creative juices. Like, I'm about to tell you that I know some people are listening and they're like, oh, I'm not creative like that or whatever. Everybody has a creative form of genius. It just may not be in the traditional sense. I think traditional people think creativity is like art, right? Or music or something like this or whatever. But the truth is that creativity comes in a lot of different forms. Like, I love mortgage because it's creativity with numbers. The way that I can move things around and reformulate things, right? It's creativity in a numbers related space, right? So this is a very logical based thing. And then you take creativity and you mash it together and you create secret sauce. So I think a lot of people are going to tell you, oh, well, you know what, Trevor, that sounds great, but I'm not very creative. I mean, I beg to differ.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy-to-understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. House U, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with House U. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
Yeah, that's what I was saying right now. Get in there and play with it and you'll find out that just start talking to it and you'll see your creative juices start to come alive again. Again, you just haven't been working that muscle out. But I do think, especially in our industry, because both of our industries, it's really just knowledge. It's information. Your lawyers, you used to pay a premium for knowledge.
Correct.
Knowledge. Where's my phone at? Here's my phone. And you know, what are you talking about? Pay a premium for knowledge. I pay $20 a month and I got all the knowledge you can ever think
of. Well, no, like, what you're now going to be paying for is application of knowledge, right? Like, so now we have the information and how do we apply it? How do you use the knowledge and use that as a secret sauce to be able to apply it in a real world way? And I'm secretly hoping, and you and I are both on the same page on this. I know this, and it is my soapbox and my hill that I will die on. I'm hoping that it's going to change the way that education in the formalized sense of like college and things like that is going to change, because right now what upsets me more than anything is the amount of money that you're handing over the next generation and or their parents, right? We're basically hemorrhaging their retirement because we've convinced everybody that this is the only way. And I'm like,
I'm so for that. Let me just tell you, okay, I'm so against formal education. I'm so against it. 100% against it. 1000% against it, personally, okay? Now, you guys who are listening, you're like, oh, I went to college, whatever, okay. Listen, I'm studying right now. I'm studying for an exam right now. And I'm like, this is so ridiculous. This is so stupid. Why? When all the knowledge is right here, why am I studying for this? This is so stupid. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it's the way our society has been set up. And we're setting people up for failure if that's the way we're going with this thing. In my opinion, you're going to go into college debt. Okay. And then you're going to get out and AI is going to take your lunch. Okay. You know, why? What we need to be doing is teaching people how to monetize using AI. That's like it. Like what else should you teach them? That and communication. How do you sell it? Because at the end of the day, it's going to be, again, people are going to be creating companies, creating businesses, creating solutions using AI. Again, the AI is going to be the solution, but they're going to be creating these tools, but then they've got to market those tools. They've got to bring those tools to market. They've got to be able to communicate, right? So like when we went to AI Marketing World and they had it was kind of like Shark Tank. They were people pitching
their ideas.
Pitching their ideas, right? I mean, like how cool is that? That should be education. Hey, guys, come in here. We're going to get in this lab and we're going to work on, I'm going to show you guys how to create companies. Okay, cool. You're going to create and launch your own companies. Okay, and then we're going to teach you how to get on stage and how to like communicate and sell it and like tell people about it. That should be school.
Did you know that Frisco ISD actually has a program where they do basically like Shark Tank for high schoolers?
I love it.
Yep. I think it's such a cool idea and such a cool experience. And it's so funny because everyone's like, you're so anti-education. I'm like, no, I'm not anti-education. I'm not. I mean, heck, I have a freaking law degree, right? So I obviously am not anti-education. And my entire brand, one of my core values for both of my brands is education, right? Or educate. However, I do not necessarily think that you educate yourself at your own peril, AKA your own financial peril, where we place ourselves in hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt for something that we either could have gotten in a different way, we could have gotten at a cheaper price, right? Like, we need to be able to have context and understand where's the value coming from and are we actually paying for what we're getting? Because if you're paying for what you're getting, that's perfectly fine, but you have to go in eyes wide open. You can't go into it and be like, well, you know, somebody told me I should go get a 4-year degree, so that's what I'm gonna do. And I'm like, great, that sounds smart. Let's just put ourselves in all kinds of debt for no apparent reason. Great, yeah, perfect.
It's a business model. I mean, it's a business model. And
big
just,
one.
It's a huge one, absolutely. And it's out of hand, if you ask me. I mean, it's just a, anyway, there's a lot of systems that are being interrupted.
For sure.
Right now, a lot of systems.
As they should be.
College is one of them, you know, and again, like, think about that. Let's just say you spend $100,000 on college, spend $100,000, which that's nothing these days.
Okay? That is nothing.
It's only going to get worse and worse and worse from there, right? But let's just say $100,000. Okay, I'm going to spend $100,000 on college. Why not take that $100,000, okay, and let's build a business with it? Let's build.
You probably don't even need that, truthfully, if you're using AI tools.
Correct. You don't. But maybe you do. Maybe you need that to help market it and help really launch that product. Let's say it's a SaaS product and you need, you know, some money to like to really get this thing to blow up. And, you know, we give out these student loans like candy. Why not give out a business loan? Business, if you're going to give a kid $100,000, just here's $100,000. Put them in debt, student loan. Why not give them a business loan that easy? Like, just give them $100,000 to start their own business and see if we can create better results that way.
Agreed.
Like, right?
Well, you could also tie it. Like, if you're going to give them the money, there could be some educational feed into it, right? Like, in order to get this money, you have to do these courses, whether they be online, in person, or however you want to frame it up or whatever.
Courses, you know, and make them like legit. Like,
right, exactly.
You know what I'm talking about. Like, here's like, Entrepreneur 101, you know, like, here's things, because, you know, when you do start your own business and you start, you know, running things, there's things that you just don't know.
Oh yeah, right? For
you
sure.
Just don't know. And you run into potholes and potholes and, you know, and so to have classes like that could help people navigate that kind of stuff. Like, I love, you know, at AI Marketing World, that's all that was. It was just a university. Okay. Crash course.
How do you pitch your idea?
You know, and they
what kind of questions are you gonna be asked?
They had a $5,000 offer there to help you build and launch your own company. Heck yeah. Why would I not pay that? You know, like, if it was a course, like, think of that as like a college course. But
for sure.
They actually help you build and launch a company. Okay, cool. I could see somebody paying for that. So college just needs to change.
Correct. It
needs to change.
Well, they need to actually have real world experience too. Like, the professors that I always learn more from are the ones that had some level of real world experience. The people who have just been stuck behind books and academia, and there's nothing wrong with books. I love books, right? I have written books. I love to read books. There's nothing inherently wrong with books. But if you don't have, again, any application, if it is purely knowledge in a, you know, unicorn environment, like, that's not helpful, right? Like, that's not real world application. Or, you know, how do we handle things when we, you know, have trip ups and things like that? I mean, I think, honestly, isn't that sort of the birth of what you did on your show, is you saw people kind of struggling with a transition on the financial aspect, right? Of like, okay, so now we're in this giant life transition. What the hell do I do? Like, where is my money supposed to go? I've been told all these years, put it here, put it there. And now I don't have a clue. And so helping people kind of understand these things, which is the important part. But unfortunately, I don't feel like college anymore does that. I mean, heck, the whole first 2 years of it almost is repeat of everything you did in high school. So what are we really saying? That our high schools didn't teach jack? Because that is pretty much what we're really saying.
Yeah, that's why I dropped out of college. Exactly that, because I went to. I was like, all right. So my dad told me, he's like, look, son, I can't pay for you to go to college. Okay. And I barely graduated. So
you're a D equals diploma student?
I didn't even take my, what is it called? Your SATs or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't take that. That was optional. I'm like, I'm not taking it. Like, I barely graduated. Like, why am I going to take it? If it's optional, I'm not taking it. That's ridiculous.
That's funny.
So like, I barely graduated. I remember my Spanish teacher, check this out. So you had to have 2 years of Spanish, right? And to graduate. And so my first year, I took it as a freshman. Okay. And then Spanish two, I took it as a senior. So there was this
gap. You don't remember anything.
And I barely even.
No understanding.
Too much of a gap in there. And plus I barely passed Spanish one. Okay. So I get to my senior year and I'm like, look, and I went in and I talked to my Spanish teacher and I said, hey, here's the deal. I'm not going to learn Spanish. I'm just going to be honest with you. I just was like, look, not going to happen. I told her, I was like, I took Spanish one when I was a freshman. Okay. Not going to happen, but I need to graduate. And she goes, all right, here's the deal. I want you to sit right over there, sit next to that girl right there and show up every day and don't disrupt the class. I need you to show up and don't disrupt because I know you. She's like, I know you.
You were a disruptor even then. I see you.
She's like, be good, show up, sit right there. Gotcha. Loud and clear, right? So let's just put it this way. She put me next to the smartest girl in the class, and I passed. And so I graduated. And anyways, my dad's like, you know, I wasn't thinking scholarships or whatever. Anyway, my dad's like, look, I can't afford to go to college. You know, like, I can't pay for your college. But I tell you what I'll do is I'll go dollar for dollar. Whatever you save, I'll dollar for dollar, I'll match it. And so I'm like, okay, cool. I always love when my dad would do that for me. He did that to help me buy a car too.
Like, yep,
my
first we car, did the he same. Said,
he's like, I can't buy you a car, son, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll match you dollar for dollar. Whatever you save, I'll match it. So I bought
that my was my car. Family as well.
Great lesson, right?
It is.
So I was like, okay, cool. When he did that for college, I'm like, all right, let's go. So I paid for a couple of classes. I got in there. It was, you know, Collin County Community College. And because I barely passed in high school, I had to take some remedial classes that I didn't even get college credit for.
Yep.
Just to like
make sure you're up to snuff.
And I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. I'm going to high school all over again. And you know what? It's even harder. I was like, I can't cheat. Yeah, no, it was harder. I was like, because people weren't, I don't know why, they weren't very social at this community college. So like, there was not this.
Anyway, very heavy commuter, truthfully.
Ugh. But so anyway, I was there for a couple, like maybe a semester, maybe two, I don't know, but not more than that. And I was like, look, I gotta go make some money.
Yeah, you're like, I'm out.
This is costing me time and money, and I'm just in here doing high school all over again. This is ridiculous. And it turns out I was right. All right? I was right, because guess what?
All the phone is going to teach you everything you need to know. There you go. Well, and I always tell, I've done like 3 or 4 episodes about college specifically and told some stories of myself, some of my girls and stuff like that and the paths that they've taken and things like that and whatever. Because the truth is that I actually don't think that college is the devil. I think that you, with anything, with any choice you make in life, you have to understand like your why, where your alignment is, what your intention is behind it, how you're planning through it or whatever. Because for plenty of people, college may still be their path, right? There is a plenty of intangibles that if you're going away to college, it does teach you, right? Independence. Maybe you weren't learning that in your household. Maybe, let's be real, you needed to kind of escape your familial lifestyle for a minute, right? And that's like the cheapest way you can kind of do it, like being in dorms or something like that. Like, there is some positivity there in that. What I'm anti is you not going in eyes wide open. You don't have an understanding of how much debt you're going to be potentially putting yourself into, how much you're going to be affecting your own retirement account if you're a parent paying for it. Like, there's all of these
people talk about the benefits. I hear people talk about the benefits of college, like being able to rub elbows with the right people and network and all this kind of stuff. And like,
correct.
And I'm like, start a podcast. Okay.
No, that's
true. Get out of here with that. There are other ways to network and meet people, very successful people, and to build relationships than going and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to do it, why not spend that money in a mastermind to get in front of the right people and rub elbows for sure. with the people who are actually going to help you build the thing that you want to build. Anyway, I'm totally, you don't want to get me on the tangent of college. I personally, even in specialized fields, okay, in a specialized field, there's no reason why someone should get, like, let's say a doctor should have to go to college for 8 to 10 years or whatever. Like, that's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, yeah, they may need some more training, and yeah, I don't want somebody like a brain surgeon, like, you know, cutting my head open if he doesn't know what he's doing.
For sure.
Are you telling me that it's going to take 8 to 10 years of books and like tests and all of that? No, that's just because they're trying to get that money. That's all it is. It's a big business. And in order for that person to make what doctors make, they're going to try to bleed them dry in the front end of that thing. I mean, it's just, to me, it's just a big business. And
I was going
to
say, some of society has changed too. Like, for instance, law school, if you're going full time, is 3 years. So that's the length of time. And what most people don't understand is like the first year, probably, in my opinion, is the most important. They do a lot of teaching you how to think, like what your mindset needs to be, how to understand the way that laws are written and like all these pieces. And like, that's super important. The reason that they hold you in there for 3 years is because they're basically trying to kind of make you the mini expert on most law, because if you think about like eons ago, there may have only been like one or two lawyers in the whole town. So that means that you would have to understand how family law works and how property law works and how tort law works and how contract law works, because you might be the lawyer for legitimately everything for the little town. But in modern day society, that's not really the case, right? Like, most lawyers that you're going to, because I get that question all the time. They say, oh, you went to law school. And I'm like, yep. And they're like, what did you get your law degree in? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, you know, like, and they're thinking that you got it in like family law or tort law or whatever. And you can get special certifications in law school, but you don't major in anything in law school. You get a general JD. And the idea is that then you can go out and hypothetically practice any form of law and be able to do this well. And so I think that society has changed.
I got my attorney right here.
I don't necessarily think that the attorney could tell you exactly how the judge is going to rule on all that, though, bro. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I mean, AI could say a lot. I mean, we could put the judge's rulings and put all the data in there. I don't know. Well, maybe we could. Maybe AI could actually analyze patterns of that judge's rulings better than the attorney.
Do you know that, at least in current state, it took them forever to digitize law, like case law anyways? Like, that took forever. There's only two main providers of that. And those two main providers are hellaciously expensive. Because I told that story the other day, I'd never forget, we showed up at law school, and you remind yourself, I was a creative English major. So I did tons of research all the time. I had to write giant papers about all kinds of like philosophical, you know, writers and all this other crap. So I knew how not only to research, but to do it really well and quickly, because I'm all about figuring out, how do I create the shortcut? Like, what is the least amount of effort I can make with the most amount of impact? That's always my aim when it comes to school. How do I accomplish this? So I knew how to research, and we show up to the first day of class, and they're like, yeah, your first assignment is you got to go down to the law library and look up all this crap, like in the physical book. And I'm like, why? Well, then I learned later it's because they had only digitized the law like a few years before. And in order to search it, because those two engines are like the only engines for all case law, they're hellaciously expensive. And they teach you how to use it in law school, because if you go to a major firm and you're doing searches, each search costs you money. Each individual search.
Oh, that's dead. That's all dead.
But they haven't, to my knowledge, they haven't changed that yet. And so until they do, law will be a little different, I think. I think they'll eventually go to that. I just don't know how they're going to get around that.
All the knowledge is already here. It's already here. All of it is there. No. And wait until AI, we're already at a point, what do they call it? Where there's a specific term, and I don't remember exactly what it is, where basically the AI creates the AI.
Yeah, it already is. Like, yeah, I forget what it's called too, but I know what you're talking about. So basically, you know, we were originally training AI, and now AI is training AI.
Look, we're at a point where it's about to discover things that humans don't even realize yet. Forget talking about law. It's about to create new law that it doesn't even, like, we don't, we have any, like, we're talking about the law of physics or gravity and things like that. It's going to discover things about the universe that we haven't even discovered yet.
They say that 2026, I think, or no, it's 2027. They call it the awakening. There's like something that will transpire because of all this AI and the whatever in the consciousness. It's like going to explode. I'm not exactly sure all the details, but it's fascinating.
It's going to create the time machine. And then all of a sudden, here we go. Okay. And now we're gotten Terminator really going on. Okay. We got Terminator because we're going to go back to the future to try and stop all this from happening. Cause it's like, hey, we're pretty close to Terminator. It's coming. Anyway, I don't mean to scare everybody online, but it's coming. Y'all either better get your money now. Okay. Get your money now.
That is so
Terminator's
funny.
Terminator's coming for your job.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, the biggest things I would tell you from like this conversation that you should take out of it though, is truly you should take some of these opportunities that are presented to you, whether you're in a job that you just hate, right? And you want to possibly escape it, or you're in a transition period because you got laid off, because, you know, whatever the situation or scenario is, you have a family member that now needs to be taken care of at home. And so now you can't work the job you used to work, et cetera, right? I mean, you have a world of possibilities at your fingertips, but you are going to have to take the time to live in alignment and intention and figure out, what does that look like? What does my path look like? Because the opportunity is there and it exists. And the giant corporations are already like latching hold of it and utilizing it to propel them forward. So why not you, right? Why are you not taking that opportunity and that forthrightness to go ahead and just, you know, push forward and fuel forward. And if you are interested in trying to learn more about, you know, how do I make some of these transitions, I think Trevor has something for you to that respect.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a career transition summit. Okay. And so as where I'm not going to teach you how to start your own business using AI. Okay. That's what we just kind of been talking about that. It's one of the things that I think, you know, if you get let go, maybe take a time out. Before you go jump back into corporate America, take a time out and think about your dreams. And how can you use some of the tools of this day and age to maybe not have to go back to work for corporate America? Not all of you are cut out for that. Let me just put it this way. Not everybody is meant to be a business owner, an entrepreneur. So I'm not encouraging everybody to go down that path. Some of you do need to go back to work for somebody. You need a paycheck. You need to work in corporate America and get the benefits and all of that. Okay, cool. Well, I can help you to get back to your income faster. We are going to use a lot of AI tools to do this. We're going to use some marketing, okay? Because right now what's happening is you're applying online. You're going nowhere. You're just apply. Your resume is not getting seen by a human because they're using AI to scan you out, okay?
And for
filter
sure.
You out. And you're getting these automated canned emails that say thanks, but no thanks. And you're getting ghosted by employers and they've removed the human element and you feel rejected and you feel hopeless and you're watching your bank account go backwards and you're freaking out and you're like stressed out and you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Okay. You need to come to my career transition summit. Okay. I'm going to teach you the tools and the strategies and we actually have a community we built around it. So it's not just a class you're going to take, right? You're going to come, by this way, this is free. So you're going to come sign up for that, register for it, come through it. I'll teach you. We've got a community. I have a mastermind. All of that's free to the community. My job is just to help you to recover your income as fast as possible. I want you to turn your setback into your comeback. All right. And we're going to help you with that. So just come see me and I'd love to help.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for being a guest again on the show or whatever. Very different kind of conversation, but still, you know, proof that, you know, guys, you can do hard things, right? I mean, I will tell you, probably most of you listening and a lot of people who actually know me would be like, you know, of course you were born to like talk and chat with people and whatever, but I was terrified. I did not want to do that. I did not want to be judged or told like I have been told in other videos. You made that post the other day, Trevor, about people being mean online. I've had people be like, why are you not wearing moisturizer? I'm like, I talk about money. Like, what does my skincare routine have anything to do with that? But whatever. And so, you know, I think a lot of times you just have to take the first intentional aligned step. Like you just have to propel that forward. And as you do, you're going to start seeing that things are not as crazy as they seem. You know, we offer, if you're trying to figure out your money from like the credit aspect, what kind of savings, maybe your intention is to buy a home at some point, like we offer something totally free to you that you can sign up for. My company actually pays for it. That allows you to understand exactly where your path is. So whatever that looks like, wherever you're headed, just make sure that you take intentional, aligned steps. And I hope this episode of Financial Mastery Simplified was helpful. And we will see you again next week on another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.